In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Yes, sir. Alan Adams joining us here in studio. Happy Monday afternoon, Mr. Adams.
And to you as well. And happy April Fool's Day, I guess.
Yes. Anybody try and fool you today at all?
No, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know what it is necessarily, but people's hearts just weren't in it this year, I don't think.
No.
And I'm not certain why that is exactly.
Maybe it's the forecast.
I mean, that's certainly not helping anyone's good cheer, I would suppose.
Yay. But it was a beautiful weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't see a whole lot of it, but...
Were you deep in rehearsals this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. We just wrapped up the first week of rehearsals for Mr. Burns, a post-electric play. Actually, off from rehearsal tonight, I did have I did spend a little time with my music today because... Oh, yeah. Singing, dancing, the whole thing, man. It's happening. It is happening.
Nothing says singing, dancing like Alan Adams. I love, by the way, the pictures that Bill Kirkendall took.
Yeah. No, he took some great photos. And then John Seidenberg, the marketing director over there, sort of overlaid them with some other sort of imagery to really create some really nice sort of stuff that's going on.
So, when's the show open?
Previews start April 18th. Opening night is April 20th, and then it runs through the subsequent two weekends. So I think our final show is, I want to say, May 4th, Sunday, May 4th.
Can't wait for it.
It's going to be good.
Also want to mention what's coming up this weekend. How is this possible that this is the 15th anniversary show for the Focus Group?
It's wild, right?
We've been doing this 15 years.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
It doesn't quite compute. You know
no,
what I mean?
No.
We're hosting at the Bangor Arts Exchange Saturday night, April 6th, 8 o'clock, the 15th anniversary show. And so it's going to be all your old favorites, some blasts from the past as well. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Saturday night, just make sure.
Yep,
it's not Friday, it's Saturday.
Yep, got to be clear. It is Saturday night. It's going to be a real circus up there. So,
what's the count? Do you know how many people?
It's one of those things where we're going to have a couple. I feel like we're going to have a couple of 11th hour yay or nays, but it's going to be at least a dozen.
Whoa.
And probably more.
Nice.
Would be my guess.
That's fantastic.
Yep. We've got a couple of folks making the journey from Southern Maine to join us. Regrettably, actually, a friend of downtown, Dennis Price, will not be joining us.
No.
He was initially going to be able to, and then another social occasion arose.
Oh.
An occasion that he, just between you and me, I think perhaps his lovely bride may have signed him up for something I'm gonna guess he maybe neglected to tell her that he had other things going on because she doesn't strike me as the type to sort of to place her own wants above his
so
she clearly didn't know, and then it's like, well, now it's too late. So Sam Kirkendall is gonna come up.
Yay.
Randy Hunt's gonna join us.
Awesome.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and I mean, I don't know how it's going to go. Like, it's, you know, there's barely room up there for six, let alone 12, but we'll figure it out.
We'll stack. Have some fun. Stack them. That's the key.
Yeah. We'll have a good time. And even a few, and there'll even be a couple of folks who, while perhaps not participating actively, will maybe be in the room as well. So that'll be kind of nice too.
Very nice. Well, let's talk movies. Have you seen any this week?
You know, you would think that I wouldn't have time.
I would think that. That's why I asked.
We got out of rehearsal a little bit early yesterday. And so I was able to head over to the multiplex and see Godzilla times Kong, the New Empire. because apparently we live in a world where if you make a sequel, it's got to have Empire in it somewhere. Last week we talked about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and now we've got Godzilla. It says Godzilla X Kong. It was Godzilla. The previous one was Godzilla versus Kong. I'm calling this one Godzilla times Kong. I greatly look forward to 2026 and Godzilla divided by Kong. It'll be a bit of a departure and not for the kids, if you know what I'm talking about.
No, exactly.
But yeah, it's wild because, you know, our man Godzilla is having a little bit of a moment right now.
Yes, he is. Because won an Oscar.
Yeah, Godzilla Minus One, which was a production by the original makers of the Godzilla franchise, Toho Films. They won the Oscar for best visual effects, and deservedly so from everything I've heard. I have not yet had the opportunity to see that one. But yes, what we have here is the continuation of the quote-unquote MonsterVerse franchise of movies, because everything's got to be a universe, Rich.
Right.
That's where these studios make their money nowadays, apparently, is by just sequel after sequel, just piling them up. And so this is a... this marks the fifth film in the franchise. We have the original Godzilla in 2014. That was the Gareth Edwards movie, followed by Kong Skull Island, Godzilla King of the Monsters, the aforementioned Godzilla versus Kong, and now we have Godzilla times Kong, A New Empire. And man, I'm gonna take a shot at giving you a plot synopsis on this one, but okay. just be warned that. It gets pretty deep in the lore, and you wouldn't think the fifth movie in a giant monster franchise would require homework, but like the reality is, if you haven't seen some of these previous films, you're gonna struggle a little bit. But the basic gist: we are 3 years after the events of Godzilla versus Kong, following the defeat of the mighty and terrifying Mecha Godzilla. Kong has retreated to the Hollow Earth, and has set up shop down in there with Godzilla still up on the surface. So now that they've got their separation, their instincts to brutally murder one another are set at ease because they've got some distance between them. So you've got So Kong's in the Hollow Earth. Godzilla is maintaining order between humans and the other giant monsters, the Titans, as they're called, including we actually get a pretty spectacular sequence at the top where our man Godzilla fights another Titan. The name doesn't matter, and they just do a real number on Rome, just knock a bunch of old buildings over. Godzilla, of course, wins, and in a theme that recurs, I have to tell you, but that delighted me, decides that that Colosseum looks like a nice place to take a nap, and so he curls. It's like a GD cat. Like, he just curls up inside the Colosseum and takes a nap. Nice. And I'm like, okay. Like, Godzilla, he's just like us.
So is Godzilla kind of a good guy in these films?
So here's the thing, and here's what makes it sort of makes these movies sort of complicated to navigate, is, the Titans, of which Godzilla is one, are ostensibly intended, their ostensible purpose is to protect, like, they're the guardians of nature.
Oh.
And so in some ways, that makes them our protectors. In other ways, they go and just knock down a bunch of, like, nuclear power plants and whatnot because, you know, they're protecting nature,
right?
Not people. So we've got that. Meanwhile, down in the Hollow Earth, because again, the Hollow Earth is real in these movies, and it delights me no end as someone who is fascinated by the sorts of people who believe that the Earth is hollow. So it's nice to see it sort of rendered on screen in a way that that probably makes the kooks just sort of sit up in their chairs and go, "See, I told you, see." But yeah, so we've got the shadowy government organization known as Monarch is still doing what they do, which is primarily monitor the activities of these various giant monsters. An observation outpost in the Hollow Earth picks up an unidentified signal. Ooh. And the signal seems to be coming from a heretofore unexplored section of the Hollow Earth. But the signal is, it's not any sort of energy that they've ever encountered before. But as it turns out, a young girl who is currently under the care of one of the higher ups at Monarch, the sole survivor of the tribe that that sort of looked after Kong on Skull Island. Well, she's getting the signal too, and so, well, apparently this must mean that Kong is involved. And well, the next thing you know, it's like, oh well, we're gonna head to Hollow Earth and find out what's what. And look, at that point, there's a bunch more giant apes, and then Godzilla has a robot arm at one point. Kong has a robot arm at one point. Okay. I got to clarify that.
Yeah,
we can't be having Godzilla with a robot with a robot arm. After there's some conflict as there is, but. As in all great heel baby face rivalries, eventually they're going to come together in the face of a common enemy. And when that happens, you better believe it.
Oh,
it's going to get real.
Nice.
Yeah.
Why am I oddly interested in this after hearing your description?
Because here's the thing, Rich. It's giant monsters fighting each other. Like, there's a reason there are like 100 Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
Because there's something really compelling about watching these like 300-foot like force of nature type creatures just bash the hell out of each other, like knocking buildings over. And and then you add in the fact that some of them have like crazy powers, like Godzilla with his like absorbing radiation and shooting his weird laser breath, and King Kong, who doesn't necessarily have powers until, and again, I can't stress this enough, he gets a robot arm.
Like, does he lose his real arm?
He deals with some pretty significant health issues.
Oh.
But that's what the folks from Monarch are for. Because, after the fight with Mechagodzilla, they were like, we almost lost Kong. We should figure out a way to help him in the future, which led to the rather on-the-nose named Project Powerhouse, which in turn led to our man Kong getting some little help with his his health issues. assisted by the... I forget the character's name. Here's the thing, the people's names don't matter.
No.
But the crazy giant animal vet, because that's a job in this world.
Well,
is crazy giant animal veterinarian, played delightfully by Dan Stevens, by the way. It's.
No, I have to ask: are there things to knock over and step on in Hollow Earth?
It's primarily like unspoiled jungle,
as you would
think.
Okay.
But there are also ancient ruins that we discover, and then it's like, these ruins have been here. They're still more or less in pretty good shape. But when conflicts arise, Rich, you can't be worrying about the ruins. When Godzilla and Kong have to come down and take care of business, as they say. Look, it's the actors are fine. Like, some really talented people. I mentioned Dan Stevens. Rebecca Hall plays a prominent role in this film. Brian Tyree Henry is back. It's just they've got a really lovely cast. And honestly, like I joke about not needing to know the people's names, and you don't. But the performances that they're giving, in the context of it being again a giant monster movie, pretty solid. They're engaging in a way that you don't always get in this kind of movie, which is nice. The CGI work is pretty solid. You've got some pretty impressive like large set pieces, and look, we as a society are always going to get some sort of weird pleasure out of watching. Cities be raised, particularly cities that have like familiar landmarks. So it's like, you're just gonna destroy a bunch of the pyramids. Okay. Godzilla's using the Colosseum as a cat bed. Sure. Like that all. I mean, it's fascinating to watch. But these movies are fun. They don't necessarily have the sort of like the moral ethical undertone that the Tojo movies do, but they're the sort of big like dumb, like, blockbuster popcorn fun that I think that's why you go to the movies sometimes. Like, you just want to see, like,
and obviously better to see it on the big screen.
It is that kind of movie, and it's a nice change of pace, because the previous entry was when the theaters were still sort of mired in pandemic mode, and this was one of the sort of HBO Max day and date releases. So I like many people watched the previous film at home, which is still fun, but especially with films like this that are so reliant on that sense of scale, like, it's nice to see, like, to see it projected on a giant screen. So yeah, like, again, is it great cinema? No, but look, sometimes you just want to watch a gorilla punch a lizard in the face.
That right there, that's a blurb if there ever was one.
Right.
Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Have a good rest of your week.
You as well. We'll see you on Saturday.
You got it. Alan Adams talking movies here on Pass the Popcorn is 5:32. We'll come back with the good, the bad, and the ugly next. FAP Buddy Insurance.